You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m, our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews and culture pieces from across Otepoti, Dunedin. Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
This is the R1 News for Friday, 19th of July. I'm Yana.
And I'm Amy. In national news, after an investigation by the Vatican into allegations surrounding unauthorised exorcisms and spiritual and psychological abuse, a Christchurch-based Catholic order has its authority removed and their priests have been stripped of their religious faculties. Michael Mora of the New Zealand Herald reports on the priests who have now been banned from practising and told to leave the Christchurch parish. The leaders of this order, Father Michael Mary and Father Anthony Mary, have faced claims of manipulating and controlling their followers and interfering in the lives of their families. The priests were accused of tying people up during exorcisms and yelling at them for hours, but Father Michael Mary described the bonds as a safety harness that was required when the devil sought to overpower and possess a person. It has also been claimed that these exorcisms were performed on young children, but the leaders have argued that they were only minor exorcisms. A former church brother, Mark Robinson, claimed that a form of penance for him was being forced to lick the ground in the shape of a cross. On other occasions, he was instructed to lie on the floor while others stepped over him to get to dinner. Both of the leaders deny any wrongdoing. However, Catholic Church rules mean that an exorcism can only get proper authority from a bishop. The Vatican sent Australian Bishop Robert McGuckin to New Zealand in November to investigate after the allegations were exposed on TV3's Paddy Gower Has Issues program. During the investigation, 17 people raised concerns about the group's leaders. One young person who was formerly a congregation member said that the monk's teachings led to self-harm under the guise of physical penance and not being able to trust their family. The Bishop of Christchurch, Michael Geelan, said that he had received a series of recommendations from the Vatican, which had been accepted. The religious faculties of the priests have been removed, and they have been asked to leave the Christchurch diocese. The priests will no longer be able to perform normal priestly duties and will find no friends in other dioceses in New Zealand and most likely around the world. Lauren Pattermore of Crux reports that a Wanaka grebe has died of starvation after two large pieces of plastic waste got stuck in its digestive tract. The celebrated bird of the century species was found dead on the shores of Wanaka's Bremner Bay, and local conservation group says it's a confronting reminder for people to take their rubbish disposal seriously. An autopsy by a Massey University vet pathologist found that the largest piece restricted the passage of food and was 5.5 centimetres long. This is also not the only species that is in trouble from pollution. An ongoing study of microplastics in Lake Wanaka has recently found microplastics in the belly of trout, which means that it has made its way through the local food chain. Local conservationist John Darby notes another incident in which a bird was found with a plastic ring around its neck, and states that the reality is there's just a huge amount of rubbish going into the lake. He says that he regularly finds large amounts of dumped cans and bottles when walking his dog around Wanaka. It has also been reported that grebes end up having plastic in their nests as they collect items from the lakeshore. Petrine Duncan of the Lake Wanaka Grebe Project says that numbers of the grebe have rapidly increased thanks to local conservation efforts, but the only way to ensure a further increase is to reduce the threats. There are monthly community rubbish cleanups around the lake, and last month cleared away over 1,000 kilograms that have been left at a spot along Cadrona River. Why Wanaka and Lake Wanaka Grebe Project invite and encourage everyone to join their effort in reducing pollution in local lakes and rivers.
In international news, rugby league, like most rugby games in New Zealand, have a way of bringing people together to have a pint and rally together in what is one of the most favoured sports in the country. With hundreds of Kiwis shipping off to Australia, namely Brisbane, supporters, fans and families alike have a lot of camaraderie when it comes to the state of origin. The state of origin football is regarded as the toughest and most demanding contest in all of rugby league. The game consists of the same two teams, the New South Wales Blues and the Queensland Maroons, competing against each other in an annual three-game fixture. The idea being, two groups of people hailing from either side of Australia's rugby league heartland and showing support for the state from which they originate. Rounding off the third and final game in Brisbane, pubs and bars around New Zealand were no doubt streaming the event, with the Bar Bar in North Dunedin being no exception. Kickoff started at 10 p.m, but the highly frequented Studentville bar already had a line out the door at 9. Entry was admitted on a one-person-in, one-person-out status, as the venue was only able to accommodate 139 people. With the majority of supporters repping the Queensland Maroons, no doubt to support the Kiwis that have trekked to Brisbane to play rugby, the few and mighty, like myself, that showed up in the New South Wales Blues colours stood strong amongst the crowd. The energy was wild and pints were sinking up until the last minute when the New South Wales Blues took out the win, much to the dismay of the majority in the bar. And although I didn't actually know how many points a try was 3 months ago, it was an event that I will be sure not to miss in the future.
Research published in the journal Environmental International has found evidence of 16 different metals in a wide range of tampon brands sold in the US and Europe, Dana G. Smith and Katie Mogg of New York Times reports. In the days since the news of the research has come out, women have taken to social media to express their alarm about the findings. Scientists who led the research have said the findings are not a reason to panic, nor immediately stop using tampons. They stated that the levels of toxic chemicals detected, including arsenic and lead, were very low, and previous studies did not find significantly higher blood levels of the metals in the women who use tampons to those who don't. The researchers analysed 30 tampons from 14 different brands and found 12 metals were present in 100% of the samples. The researchers don't know exactly how the metals got into the tampons, but they have a few theories. One is that the cotton used to make the tampons could have been exposed to metals through pesticides or via the air, soil, or water. Contaminants could also be picked up during the manufacturing process, or some metals might be deliberately added to the tampons. Experts have said that the most important question is whether the metals in the tampons can be absorbed into the body through the vagina, which is an area where there is little research on. Dr. Banner, who has studied tampon absorption, states that tampons are meant to absorb from us, and I don't think there's any evidence necessarily that the body absorbs anything from them. However, she has added that a study directly testing this needs to be done. The amounts of toxic metals are very low, however, the concern of cumulative exposure has been brought up. More research is needed to determine what risk, if any, the metals found in the tampons pose to women's health. For now, however, the researchers have said that these results are not a reason to panic.
In local news, when looking for a cheap, sweet treat on a casual afternoon, after a hard study sesh, or simply just a late-night snack, residents of Studentville look no further than Rob Roy Dairy. The beloved corner shop has been the go-to for cheap ice cream scoops, chocolate sundaes, and my own personal favourite, real fruit yoghurt cones. Liz Watson, the owner of Rob Roy, has been serving her generous ice cream scoops for over 16 years, which has seen lines going outside and down the block to enjoy the tip-top and carpety ice cream being sold. As she approaches 65 years of age, Watson is looking to set her sights on retirement and thinks it's about time she has a sleep-in, as reported from the ODT article. The dairy sits perfectly on the edge of Studentville and on the retail strip of George Street. With their generous portions and late-night closing hours, it no doubt became a popular student hub. In pre-COVID times, the dairy would see a turnover of $1 million yearly. The dairy has also been one of New Zealand's largest sellers of tip-top scooped ice cream since 2013, gaining cult status and serving to the likes of All Blacks players and rugby stars. Hoping to pass the baton on to someone who could come along and reap the benefits of the hard work that's been put in, Watson would love for the current employees to keep their jobs and the legacy to live on. With the fairly recent sold sticker adorning the storefront, who knows what the new owners have in store for the adored dairy.
The world's rarest whale was found by a Dunedin man having a cup of tea on his couch, Neva Chittick of RNZ reports. Patrick Gallagher had Thursdays off from work and decided to check the swell in hopes of going for a surf, so looked at webcam footage of Tairi Mouth on the camera. He saw what looked like a beach whale and did a double take. Gallagher said that you sometimes see seagulls that look like surfers and surfers that look like boats, beach dolphins that are actually logs. It is all dependent on the webcam picture quality, the distances between objects and the light. However, this time he was certain it was a mammal. He rang it in to DOC, who believed that it was a very rare male spade-toothed whale and that was going to be frozen and held for future research. Since the 1800s, only six spade-toothed whale samples have been documented. The most recent was from Gisborne in 2017. Gallagher said that the picture quality of the webcam made it difficult to determine the scale and was surprised when DOC said that it was 5 metres long. A sample from the whale has been sent to Auckland University to confirm its species. DOC hoped a hui would be held with all interested parties to decide on the next steps for the whale in the coming weeks. However, until then, it was being held in a commercial cold store in Otago.
With the colder months fast approaching and flats becoming chillier day by day, why not swap out your feather-down North Face jacket for the warm embrace of Critics' newest bachelor, Joel Tebbs? For all you single as a Pringle guys and gals, this 5'11" hunk of B-Sci become goodness may be yours for the taking. The Bachelor is looking for someone that mirrors his own adventurous and extroverted traits with a sense of humour and confidence in themselves. Adorned with curly brown hair and a dazzling smile, one that makes you feel like you've said something witty, critics' own words, not mine, Joel will be sure to have you swooning over a first date over dinner with a cheeky trip to the beach afterwards. If Joel sounds like your dream man, he probably sounds like a large proportion of other people's dream man as well. So make sure to get your applications in quickly, as entries will close on Sunday.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Friday, 19th of July. Today's bulletin was written by Amy Martin and Yana Gleeson and read to you by Amy Martin and Yana Gleeson.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
We'll be back with you later with Hugh Askerid for a rundown on his recent fish and chip review for Critic. Up next, we have Dangerous Day to Be a Cold One by Darts.
Welcome back to Radio 1. We have Hugh Askerid in now. He's going to be telling us about his fish and chips review that was in the Critic. So, me and Amy are going to ask him a few questions. Hugh, how are you going today?
Absolutely excited, pumped, brilliant to be here, guys. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, happy to talk about some fish and chips.
Yeah, oh, always, always.
Okay, well, I would like to know, the first thing I would like to know is, what is the method that you use when having a fish and chips? What is the order that you eat things in? Is there a specific method that you should follow?
Well, I know as the Critic crew, we have a sort of a range of methods, but me, myself, I'm always a fish first man. Get right into the slimy juiciness of it all. Have a few chips to, you know, soften the blow a bit. And then after that, you can kind of stop and go, well, okay, what have I just witnessed? What was that?
You're not making it sound very appealing for anyone who wants to try fish and chips.
Sometimes it's not, okay? Sometimes it's not as easy as they say. You know, getting through a whole lot of fish and chips, two scoops and a fish, you end up feeling just, like, miserable. You feel sick.
That
your stomach
true.
Is hurting.
You're going to have a shower to wash off all the grease.
Yeah. It's, like, the most food coma food ever.
Yes.
How I'd describe it.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like as you're eating it, the grease is just kind of dripping everywhere.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this doesn't feel good anymore.
Some people like it like that.
That's true. Would you say there's a place that was selling fish and chips that has been like a long-standing cult favourite and then it's disappointed you during this review? Or is there vice versa, one that hasn't usually done well and is doing really well this time?
I mean, I think that is how you would define this review. There's been a lot of changes in the Dunedin fish and chip shop market recently. The biggest and most notable absent from the top three was the Tahuna Camp store, of course. Tahuna has been for like 5 or 6 years under new owners, and they've been doing a really great job and kind of elevating it to the preeminent position. But this year was tough. It was really tough, especially for me. You know, my family home is near Tahuna Camp store. We know the owners, and last year they got second. And the owner said, oh, I don't want to see your face back in here until we get first. And I had to put my ego aside. I had to say, okay, I'm gonna put these guys fourth or fifth or whatever.
Okay.
And it hurt me. It hurt me, to be honest.
Did you used to go and always get your fish and chips from that?
I think it's like a collective gaslighting. People thinking once people think a fish and chip shop place is good, it gets in their head. That's work on them. And I was a fool. Up until a month ago, I was eating camp store thinking, this is the best. It wasn't. I was fooling myself.
Yeah.
And now you know better.
Now I know Marlo.
Now you know Marlo.
Right next door.
And you can never go back.
I can never go back. It's a tale of two cities, really. Marlo and Campstall always destined to be warring.
Oh.
Only 100 metres away from each other.
Okay.
Sounding a bit like Romeo and Juliet here.
What do you reckon, Hugh, about a crispy battered fish outweighing, like, a really good batch of phenomenal crispy chips? Or how about this? How about if the chips were really, really soggy? They were, like, horrible chips. But the fish was the most phenomenal fish you've ever had. How would that put... Would that put the fish and chips above another fish and chips that had really, really good chips and an average fish?
Okay, I'm just going to call you out on that one there for a second, because soggy chips can be a blessing.
Oh.
For many, they can be a blessing and a lifesaver. But in my eyes, the fish is key. The fish is what you go for. It's more expensive than the chips, obviously. Chips you can buy from chicken stores as well, so there's not that uniqueness about them. And they bind the meal, okay?
Okay.
So having a fish with a thin batter, really white, and it pulls off in nice, delicate chunks, that's what you're looking for, okay? And I don't care how good the chips are. Take a look at Squiddies, our very own local flying squid just down the road. Great crinkle cut chips if you're that way inclined. Beautiful. But the fish is straight out of the box, okay? And it's important to get that balance right, but you should always be sacrificing that balance for the pursuit of great fish.
Okay. I do have a controversial question. Crumbed fish or battered fish?
Battered. Mm. It's not fish and chips if it's crumbed. That's what I would probably say. It's not from fish and chips from the fish and chip shop if it's not battered.
It's not chips and fish either. It's fish and chips. Fish reigns supreme.
True.
What about a pan-fried fish, though? What about for the celiac friends
out
there?
It feels healthy.
True.
You know?
True. This kind of debate, so it's such a black and white world fish and chip shop review. You know, these questions don't really...
You're not thinking about the others out there.
No, I'm not. Maybe we should be. Next year, but there's time for it.
Do a shout out for the celiacs. And we tried a pan fried one, but you can't beat the batters.
Yeah,
we will.
What about your thoughts on sauces?
Sauces, honestly, I don't think you really need sauce. If it's good fish, it's good chips, you just don't need it. Just chuck it down.
Not even a tartare.
This should be... Oh, you got me there. Nah, a bit of aioli maybe, you know, a bit of tartare sauce, you know. But really, it comes down to the fish, comes down to the quality you're getting.
Yeah.
You should be able to eat it without the sauce. Mm. And then when you're about 5 minutes into it, you're like, oh, I need some sauce to break it up.
And the places which offer, like, sauce packets for 50 cents, get out of town. Get out of town.
That's why you take it home where you've got your own tomato sauce. Mm.
That was the only thing Maywa did unsuccessfully.
Really?
The
student local.
That's criminal.
Yeah.
That is criminal. Did you get lemon slices with your fish?
No.
No.
Not at most places. Best Cafe in town.
Mm.
Best Cafe, if you don't... to the listener who might not know, is like the upmarket sort of place you bring your touristy friends to go. This is a real slice of Kiwi, you know. It's in the middle of town. It sells $22 fish and chips, so two pieces of fish and a scoop of chips for $22.
Wow.
But then it sells the same meal in its restaurant. Okay, so really, what are they giving you? Is it a fish and chip shop? Is it a restaurant? And that's the debate. Yeah. And they got third this year. Last year they won. And I was always very critical of that decision last year that they won, because I simply do not consider them a fish and chip shop.
Mm. Well, I feel like if they've got other options there and it's not just takeaways, it can't really count as a fish and chip shop.
No, it can't. But all credit to them. They make wonderful stuff.
Nice. Awesome. Well... I mean, I feel like if anyone else has any other questions, they should read the article on the Critic website or just pick up the magazine.
I just feel like there's so many more fish and chip shops we haven't looked at as well. There's two other Northeast Valley ones, which one of them is quite good down the valley. We didn't touch on that one. There's, I mean,
You can't expand it too much because you're the one who has to eat it.
Exactly. I had like five, you know, different sessions of fish and chips in that week and I was just exhausted.
Yeah.
But low-key loving it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it for the craft.
Do it for the craft of fish and chips. But there's lots to see. Wak Waiti, great fish and chips. Waitati, of course. Waitati, you know. Like, legendary spots. Carey's Bay. Mm-hmm. Legendary spots which go unnoticed. And if you really want a journey, you could just do like a pub crawl for fish and chip shops and you would have the best night of your life. Oh. Just a suggestion. Red card suggestion.
Yeah. Well, you're leading it, so.
I don't know if that would be the best night of my life. I feel like I'd probably be like, oh, I think I'm kind of over the fish and chips by about number three.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can eat.
Might have to turn into a bog standard pub crawl.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. Well, it's been awesome having you in the studio. Thank you so much for coming in and answering our questions.
Thanks, guys.
We look forward to hearing the review again next year for number 24.
I love it. I'm excited.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Hugh.
Cheers, guys.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1 here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts. Or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.